And we're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Masters of the Galaxy podcast. It is your only podcast for He-Man, She-Ra, Thundercats, and everything in between. I am your illustrious host, Brian Oz. No. Actually, old Brino is on a boat. So much like Super 7 and the Ultimates, he's on a boat. The inmates are running the asylum this evening. Nobody's really available to do a podcast. So I thought, hey, man, why not just I'll get on here and talk to you guys. So this is now the Aaron Johnson podcast. I'll tell you, I am the freaking master of the galaxy. So now Brian apparently still in the Caribbean, still on a boat, as our toys are as well. So Ozone didn't make it today. At least we do know he got through customs, because we have seen some posts that have occurred after. So he has not been detained in any other country. He actually is just not with us. So guys, I know it's absolutely terrifying and heartbreaking that Brian was not able to make this show, but we'll make up for it. So what we're going to do tonight, a couple things we'll talk about. Of course, we'll talk about some news, some things that are going on in the world of Motu. Killer news, Ruddy, I know you're in the chat, and appreciate you jumping in there. Paul Rudman, for you guys that don't know him, Ruddy Rudd, St. Ruddy. Ruddy Buddy, got an email from Super 7 concerning the Ultimate shipping. So for you guys, you're going to hear it here. The shipping is set for the 20th. So the 20th of this month per Paul Rudman. And if they don't ship, it doesn't mean they're on a boat. It means something had to do with Paul Rudman. So, Rudd, it's on you now, buddy, if people don't get their Ultimates, because you told everybody when they were going to ship. So... he also addressed the resealable blister for the figures. I know a lot of people were really bummed out about that, because we were told originally that that was something Super 7 wanted to do. We were told that was something that was possible. It wasn't like, hey, we're absolutely going to do this, but it was out there that was something that was being kicked around, that if they could make it happen, they would like to make it happen. So obviously it did not happen. So a lot of folks are kind of upset, because they were under the premise that when they bought these things, that we would have a resealable pack and a resealable blister. So I looked at some of that stuff, beautiful message from Paul Rudman. Paul, does your keyboard have a sensor? It's not very nice. But anyway, make sure you contact, Paul Rudman. I've got his address if anybody needs that. Of course, in the Waffle Mafia, we have each other's addresses. So if you need that and you want to get a hold of Paul Rudman, just PM me after the show. I'd be more than happy. I actually have a map of where he lives, his upstairs bedroom. moving on. So... It says they also address the fact that figures are not in the resealable blister, and that it would have actually added 4 to 5 weeks production time. So at this point, 4 or 5 weeks production time. I mean, why not? It's one of those things where, and guys, we try to sing the praises of Super 7 when we can, because obviously they're carrying on the line and that's what we want. But bad news is bad news, guys. And we've been getting some bad news for a while with classics, as far as, things getting our orders going in and those things not getting shipped out quite on time. And then we had the problem with the tooling and the molds, and, you know, then they're going through safety testing with kittens. I don't know. They're going to be here. We're going to get them. They're going to be glorious. I know there are some folks that are already upset over some coloring differences and some variations from what we saw, from what we're getting. But as far as I know, nobody in the U.S. actually has their hands on them. So, you know, I don't think there's obviously a different version for overseas versus being here. But at the same time, we actually haven't had these in hand. And we've seen pictures that have been passed along on the internet that very well, I mean, the coloring could be off. Now, the picture of Ram Man, and this is just me, and I don't want to piss nobody off or make people mad, but man, when I pull up the picture of Ram Man and I look at the Ram Man that was in the showcase that Super 7 threw out there, it looks like the same Ram Man to me. The silvers look the same. I mean, to me, it looks like a flat silver. I agree. Yes, it would have been much cooler to have the detail and you know, all the little metallic hints and that kind of thing, the shadowing. But honestly, that's what it looked like to me. So I don't know. I thought they were pretty spot on with what they showed versus what actually came out. And then on top of that, I mean, other than that, I mean, it's really just the small color variations that some folks are pointing out. Obviously, some people say Teela has green hair. We just won't even really know, you know, until we get the figures in hand. And that, I mean, I know, guys, that has been such a frustrating thing, because it is for me also. We've tied a lot of money up. We've got our money tied in these things because we love the line and we want to see the line continue. And in order for the line to continue, we got to pay. And in order for us to pay, we got to get our stuff. And that just hasn't happened yet. So I think once these things come in and you've got them in hand and we're able to look at that sweet freaking packaging, man. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that does suck that they're not resealable, but the truth is, I mean, that's one of those ones that would have to have mint on card and have one loose also. And maybe the Ultimates line doesn't lend itself to that as much, because the idea of having the Ultimate line, I guess, with He-Man is having all of the different heads and all of the different accessories and all the different things. But he's still like an original number one He-Man sculpt. So if you have that and you have that loose, you don't necessarily have to have him a loose version of him. Maybe you just want the mint on card for the burst blister, the stuff that we had when we were kids. So for me, I really dig the packaging, and I would want it for that reason alone. The artwork is absolutely amazing. You know, it's just something that the way that these things got packaged, yeah, it would have been cool to get it resealable. Absolutely. Was it sold under that premise? I can't say personally I bought it for that reason, but I know there are some folks that are under the impression that is why that discussion came about, and that's why they bought those. So, you know, any time that you get something and it doesn't turn out to be quite what you want it to be, there's some buyer's remorse. Anytime that with a new company, things are not going quite as smoothly as we would like for them to do, to move, we start losing faith and we start losing hope in the company. And I'll say, honestly, guys, don't lose faith in Super 7 yet. I still feel very comfortable about the fact that once these things start rolling and they start coming in and we get, you know, you got to understand that Super 7's a small company, guys. They're not huge, and especially not the size of Maddie. And the fact is, Maddie's had these problems also. They've had delays with shipping. They've obviously Digital River, a nightmare. We've had the issue with the paint apps. We've had parts turn the wrong direction, wrong names under the right people. So I don't know, man. It can only get better from here. I do think it really sucks that we don't have those figures in hand. And with that said, you know, I'm going to bring it. This is Ultimate He-Man. Okay. So for right now, until my Ultimates get here, this is the cat that's guarding my house. So this is my Ultimate He-Man. But yeah, they're coming. They're on a boat. I love those memes. I thought that was outstanding. Yeah, Joe Amato brought up the fact that, you know, like having a chrome armored Ram Man, that's amazing. I love that, because it could be a variant. The crazy thing, though, is if you look at like Roboto and you look at the classics version of Roboto has a very shiny very glossy looking paint app on him, and it really makes those pads on the legs pop out. It really makes his boots pop out. Obviously gives the impression that he's metal because he's a robot man. Well, if this big juggernaut, some cat is walking around and is carrying all this huge armor on him with these massive chains and these big skulls, I mean, make him look metal. But, you know, the flat metal, I don't know, man. It depends. There are a lot of little details you can do in there, especially with paint apps, and that's – but what Joe's talking about, he's talking more about chrome and actually chroming him out, which that would be sweet as can be too, because if you guys remember the bands on Ram Man's arm when you were a kid, the babies were chrome, right? They were totally reflective and did their own thing. So would be cool to see that. I smell a Joe Amato Customs in the work. Give us all a chrome Ram Man or a chromed out Rammy. That would be pretty sweet, Joe. And, you know, I know there was some disappointment about it. I know there has been. Me personally, I just didn't see the massive stretch with Ram Man as far as that being not being exactly what they showed. I think what happens is when you look at him beside the classics Ram Man, the original Ram Man, yes, there are some major differences. And I think that is actually what causes you to look at it in that way, because when you look at the orange, the mini comic version of the pants, it throws you off when you first see it. I mean, it's awesome, looks cool, but it definitely sitting next to the classics version, it looks different. So there's going to be some of those things. But all right, guys, so that's our little rant, I guess, about Super 7 and about what's going on there. I really appreciate Ruddy sharing that news. We try to, you know, on the page, on Masters of the Galaxy page, of course, on Lucky Legends, because we try to stay right on top of what all is going on. I really love it when anybody, you know, any kind of news, please share it on Lucky Legends. I like to be first, you know, because if you're not first, you're last. And my daddy taught me that. let's have a pause for the cause for daddy. We could do that on this podcast. Do you know why I can get away with doing a pause for the cause today? Because nobody is monitoring this. Nobody's there. There's no dirt. Obviously no Brian. Andrew's not here with his ruler slapping people on the wrist, you know, away from his teaching job. So they're letting the inmates run the asylum. And when that happens, you can kind of do what you want to do. And with that said, we'll have a pause for the cause from me to you. I just realized that my microphone actually picks up the noise of me chugging. Sorry about that, guys. That's not, you know, normally when we do waffles, I don't have a microphone because Lord knows I don't need one. Y'all get sick of my loud mouth anyway, but the fact is, when it's waffle time, there tends to have been a few of these attorney and loggers go down, and really we should turn these because we don't want to be advertising for anybody. These are the Prince Adam brand attorney and loggers, right from the roots of Snake Mountain. They go in there and they get that baby tap root, bring that out, a little bit of dino egg, dragon egg. And the brew this stuff, and the hops comes from the vine jungle. It's just absolutely amazing. But yeah, with that said, I actually decided earlier in the week when we were talking about what we're going to do for the show, and the guys had some things coming up, and I thought, well, you know, we could set out and not do the show. But the truth is, I hate missing the show because I hate missing the chance to talk to you guys and talk about Masters and talk about the stuff we love. So really sucked that we missed you last week. So I thought, man, we're doing it one way or the other. I don't care if I do it by myself. So sorry, guys, this is what you get tonight. You're stuck with me driving the ship. Obviously, Brian on a ship of his own. Don't you worry, buddy. I'll take good care of this ship till you get back. We won't even beat it around on sides or nothing. Just slide it gently into that port. welcome home. Okay, so one of my favorite characters, and I guess because I have the mic tonight, I get to talk about what I want to. And I had an idea about really what I want to talk about before I ever got this opportunity. But give me the microphone for an hour and, you know, whatever. But I probably won't keep you guys that long. But just the guy that I really want to talk about more than anybody else. A lot of people overlook him. A lot of people don't really care for this character. They just think he's kind of silly. He's the Birdman. He doesn't really do a whole lot. But Stratos, oh my gosh. Thank you, Rudd. Stratos is by far, in my opinion, a very interesting character. Probably one of the most interesting characters because there are so many unique and interesting things about Stratos. We learn about Stratos, obviously, with his first appearance, and it was a very different Stratos than the one that we see here. And obviously, this is the classics original run version of Stratos. Actually, this may not be. Let me get my facts straight. This would be actually the blue. This is the red pack. So that tells me that the red pack, that would be the DC True 2 pack, if I'm right. So somebody help me out here, Joey Boom Boom or Ruddy Rudd. I do believe, because you guys know how weird I am about Stratos and having Stratos. So I think for my personal collection, I went with the red pack Stratos from the Toys R Us 2 pack. So, There is also, obviously, since we're talking about it, a blue version, and that's actually the more known version. So, let's see, right here, Motu Classics Canon. And if you guys, obviously, let me set them up here. Let's get Stratos something to do here while I guard my beer, Birdman. All right. So, what I've really been enjoying, guys, is going to the Bible. So, we have He-Man and Masters of the Universe, Character Guide, and World Compendium. So inside this glorious book, I'm going to share some things with you, and we talk about Stratos. So there is a 2008, a little piece talking about the classics, and the way this book works is it ranks everything by the year that it was first introduced. So because the classics line started in 2008, that is where it's listed. So it doesn't actually break out and say, you know, exactly 2011, blah, blah, he was in this wave. It basically just covers the Motu Classics canon. So let's see. What it tells us here in the 2008 says, the classics canon blended elements from other media into cohesive biography for Stratos of the House of Avion, adding that only the brave and honorable leader fought and died in the second ultimate battleground. Okay, first of all, man, you ain't killing Stratos. I don't care. Call it what you will. Not my motu. We're not doing that. The Birdman, he's got to be there. He's there in almost every iteration of what we have. And we're going to go back and talk about his origins, because that is the cool piece that I want to talk to you guys about. Stratos is a vanilla character. Paul Rudman, I swear to God, man, if you make it out of this chat alive, this is ridiculous, Rudd. Is this like a anti thing? Like, everything that I like, you like the opposite of, or you don't like the thing that I like, you like the exact. So if the evil warriors had an opposite Birdman, such as perhaps Batros, I don't know that we would call him exactly he doesn't necessarily register as an evil warrior. So if we had the exact nightmare opposite of this guy, Rudman would like it. And that would, you know, if there had been truthfully, if the real origin of Stratos had occurred, then Rudd would have nothing to fuss about because he'd be an evil warrior and nobody would care. Because the good guys never get as much love as the bad guys get, right? What is better than a winged birdman from the high atop the Mystic Mountains? Not a lot. I can tell you that. Rudman says, yeah, the only good Stratos was in the MYP cartoon. So, Rud, as much as you didn't want to be a part of this podcast tonight, you chose to be a part of this podcast, so you're in it to win it, buddy, whether you like it or not. Yeah, the MYP version, talk about that too. So, kind of like what Rudd's talking about there, we have many different versions of Stratos. And what I find most interesting is it lists Stratos' first appearance. Of course, it says he's a winged warrior, he's the Lord of the Sun Winds. So, any kind of character title that they may have had. Surprised it doesn't say King of Avion, because that typically would be there. But affiliations: he is a heroic warrior. He is Masters of the Universe. He is Bird People. He is Avionians. Avionians do that. Avionians. Says Stratos was a stalwart ally to He-Man, capable of soaring to great heights and traversing long distances in the air. He wore weapons on his wrist that projected streams of flame. He made his home atop Eternia's highest mountain peak, from which he kept an eye out for potential evildoers. So, interesting piece of trivia that they give us here. In the first mini comic, Stratos could be spotted among the evil warriors. And this was because the character was originally intended to be a villain, though he was changed to a hero early on. And a lot of what was happening with that, and Joe can kind of help me out here when I get into these kind of details of things. But at the time, they were being given sort of the concept of the character and being told, you know, who was going to be in the panel. But the person who was actually drawing them didn't know whether they were good or evil. So that in a couple of cases we've had it where a character, you know, we didn't actually know if they were a good guy or a bad guy. And with Stratos, he's pictured on our box art for, I think it's Castle Grayskull. I would have to look it up just to be absolutely certain, tell you guys something crazy. But he's on that box art, and he's featured in that alternate paint scheme. So one of the very cool things about Stratos, and I think I can show it to you here with the book. If you look closely, let me try not to rack everything and knock everything down. Come on in here. Okay, so there we go. There's Stratos. Let me move it over just a little. So there we go. There's Stratos in his 1982 mini comics run. So if you look closely there, you've got a flesh-colored Birdman and kind of those interesting legs. And I think that's cool because it looks like it's kind of hair, furry. He's kind of got the furry legs. And of course, if you look closely at Stratos' sculpt, and of course, it was that way in his original vintage version. He has that as well. So, not nearly as pronounced and kind of coming off the leg the way that it is in the early drawings for the 82 minis. So, I thought it was really cool. And we go back to Super 7. I thought it was really cool when Super 7 came out with the 3-pack this year. And the 3-pack, that comes with Stratos, mini comic Stratos, has mini comic Trap Jaw, and also mini comic Prince Adam. So you get Adam in his blue vest situation. That's very prevalent in Dragon's Gift. You can see him sort of lurking around the corner, and he actually does. And we had some argument about this when this first happened, when this first came out, but he actually does have the Alcala style hair in some of those, obviously written by or drawn by Alfredo Alcala. So he has that more savage look. So the head that they went with was the extra head, the Ular head, or the Alcala head, as some folks like to call it. It's okay. I don't know that we needed that vicious of a snarl for that. He obviously is much more savage a prince. He hulks and lurks about in the back, and he's not like Prince Adam, you know, hapless, roaming around, you know, not really on top of things as far as the things that are happening, kind of a bumbling character, where this Prince Adam is not portrayed that way at all. And of course, we also got in that particular pack, we got the trap jaw, the mini comic trap jaw. Color scheme, and I think Joe and Rudd and some of you other guys, I think you would probably agree with me. I think Dan Rice and I talked about this also, but it's close to demo almost, like as far as the color. And I just don't know that that was quite right for what we had in the mini comic, because in the mini, it seemed to be a touch more yellow. This seems to be a touch more green. But like I said, until we have the figures in hand, we really don't know. But interestingly enough, then that brings us to the Stratos. The Stratos figure looks to be, as far as sculpt wise, it looks to be the same sculpt. So it doesn't look to really be anything extremely different there as far as the body sculpt, but more or less just the color. So we have the fleshy body tones there. I was hoping to be able to compare those side by side so we could say definite one way or another that that is a completely different sculpt. I can't really get a picture with the kind of detail that I'm looking for. I don't think the book quite covers this new line just yet, so we didn't quite pick that up in the compendium guide. But sculpt-wise, to me, looks to be the exact same sculpt. Even when you look at the hands, it looks to have a little different sculpt because Stratos' hands are a bit different. So, one of the cool things that they did get right with it, I think if you look really closely, I can't tell if that beard is gray or if it's blue, but it's cool if it's blue, obviously, because that would be a throwback. But it would be a throwback to the actual vintage line where there is a Bluebeard variant. We didn't necessarily have that in what's being introduced with the MOTU mini comics. So this is very true to the 1982 MOTU mini. Everything kind of the same there. We got a new sculpt on that neck piece. So he's got kind of a headdress, chest piece that sets around his neck. And we got a cool waist piece that goes with him also. So very cool on that. I don't know, did he come with a – yes, he's got the staff of Avion also. So that was another thing. We talk about a couple of differences there and some things that were – portrayed a little different than the mini and have changed over time. But so that is what Super 7's got for us as far as the mini comic version. So we've got our original vintage. The vintage had that same interesting thing where some of them had blue wings, some of them had red wings, some of them had the blue pack, some had the red pack. So of course, classics, anytime I felt like, you know, they could give a nod to something like that, they did that, and it was something they kind of did that was very cool. So I've never been a huge fan of Stratos's feet. This DC version, I think, is why this is different. I don't know if the classics, let's see, yeah, it does. So it looks like the regular classics version is the same. But the flat feet, no sculpt detail there. And agreed, in the vintage figure, I mean, we didn't have that. So I totally agree with the sculpting of it. Four Horsemen were spot on with it. Hang on, I've got another Stratos here. But they were very spot on with the sculpting, almost to a fault at times, where, you know, it would have been cool to get something a little cooler, you know, because we look there, I think there was at one point in time a somewhat of a definition on the toes that maybe, you know, didn't translate very well from the sculpt over to the actual figure itself. Of course, you know, with the original stuff, there wasn't a whole lot we could do there. Reuse of a lot of parts, reuse of a lot of other figures. So, those feet, that is one big major difference that you get with the Super 7 version. So for the Super 7 version, we have the clawed toes. They look a lot like what would have come with Carnivus. So I don't know if that is a same sculpt reuse, part reuse, but very cool nonetheless that we actually have some clawed toes for Stratos. Because in the minis, in the 82 mini, when you look at that flesh-colored Stratos, they knocked out the part. They got the detail of the nails. So just like this version, there is the detail on the fingernails, but they also got that as well on the toes with Super 7 version. So very cool. Absolutely cannot wait to get the new version of Stratos. And like I said, you know, some people like Stratos, some people don't. I think he could be used in a much better way. I think he's a much stronger character than what he's given credit for. Because in the early direction, in the 82 minis, the DC Motu line, he was the leader of the Bird People of Avion, was called into action as He-Man discovered he had one of three talismans that the hero sought. Subsequently, Stratos joined them on their mission. When you get to the Filmation version of Stratos, I feel like he's portrayed well, and I feel like he's portrayed as a strong leader for his people who wants to make great decisions for his people and be a strong leader for his people. But ultimately not the kind of the really menacing, strong character that he appeared to be early on. I mean, there were many times that we see Stratos coming to the aid of He-Man, or to the point that I think even MYP gave some throwbacks to it, but where He-Man is unable, so using might and using the power of the jet sled. No, not the jet sled. I got in trouble for this one night. It is not the jet sled. It is the, yes. Mm-hmm. Let's just, for the sake of the show, let's just say the front of the battle ram, the sky sled. There we go. Sky sled. Okay. I always want to call that the jet sled. But, okay, so sky sled. We see a situation where the sky sled, He-Man is doing his absolute best to truck up this mountain, and he can't get up it. The cliffs, the sheer might of the wind blowing over these cliffs, technology couldn't do it. No matter the might of this machine, it did not have the ability to do so. Or perhaps it was the Wind Raider. It may have been the Wind Raider, actually. But we also see the same type thing where He-Man grabs a hold of the sky sled, or Stratos grabs a hold of the sky sled and carries He-Man on it. And we have that happen a couple times, I think, in Filmation as well, where he helps out Adam. But in the 83 Filmation Motu animated series, which is kind of what most folks will associate with Stratos, most of the Filmation folks. We'll pause for the calls. Thank you, Joe Amato, little sky sled. I don't know why. It's always, I want to call it something else, but it's not. That's not what it is. I see my baby and my wifey over there. So, yes, thank you, Joe, sky sled. So what we've got in the 83 version, the Filmation version, the animated series, that's where most folks are associated with Stratos. It says the Filmation animated series portrayed Stratos as a kind and noble leader, respected by his people and willing to sacrifice himself for them. He was the guardian of both the staff and the Egg of Avion, and though he was not often summoned to aid in aid the heroes, the airborne advantage he provided proved extremely useful in battle. Stratos' natural power of flight was enhanced by the jetpack. So a lot of people, you know, the argument I've always heard, why does he have a jetpack if he's a Birdman? Because he likes to go fast, obviously. I mean, pause for the cause. Delicious. Adam's Eternian Lagers. All right. So it says, obviously his flight power is enhanced by the jetpack, and he would lose his power if he did not return frequently to the Egg of Avion. He could project concussive blasts from the palms of his hands, and his wrist cuffs could fire a beam of light that crystallized the enemy. So different things that Stratos is able to do. And in some cases, he's able to throw fire out of the wrist guards. In some cases, beams from his hands. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, because I'm going to suggest a Filmation episode for you guys to check out. And I'm also going to suggest a mini comic for you guys to check out as well, that portray the different things that we've talked about today and the different things about Stratos. So really that more so the way that most people know Stratos. But we also have the 1983 MOTU mini comics, and in the 83 MOTU comics. So now keep in mind, there was the 82 run that came with our early figures, and we've got that beautiful Alcala artwork. And, so we had that. And then we have the 83 that came with a later wave of figures. And in the 83 run, it says, unlike his Filmation portrayal in the mini comic, Stratos' ability to fly, like that of all bird people, came from the magic of the Emerald Staff of Avion. The ability to fly would be lost if the staff were to be removed from Avion. Delora, Stratos' human wife, ruled Avion at his side. So in the 83 iteration of it, and the way that it's presented, we have Delora, who is Stratos's wife. And she's a very interesting character because of the different ways that she was portrayed. And Stratos really got screwed here, because first off, he's got a wife and she's human and she's banging, but you know, kids are not going to understand that. Kids are going to have a hard time with that. So we remove her from his royal bedroom where, you know, it's all feathers in the dark, baby. We remove him from the royal bedroom, and now she becomes his sister. Was she perhaps his sister to begin? No. No Joe Dirt references here. So it was something that they were afraid that the kids, from a marketing standpoint, wouldn't really understand the idea of him having a wife. So they change it. They make her his sister. But it's interesting because it happens in different ways and in different sometimes she's a human. Sometimes she is a bird woman who is dressed in blue. Sometimes she is a hawk or the actual Delora representation that we get. So the Ladybird MOTU books, in the Ladybird book, Stratos and his wife Delora carried a pair of rings that glowed when they were in close proximity to each other. So the play there was the fact that she was his wife, and obviously that's what drew him out to talk to Skeletor, or to come after Skeletor, who had taken Delora from him. So the way that he would find his way back to her and know when he was near her was the ring would light up. So very cool. I mean, the early depictions of her as a character, of him as a strong king with a strong queen. I like the way that Delora was presented as the wife. That's not exactly what we're going to get character-wise. Let me kick over here and we'll go over to Delora and read what the book actually has for Delora. Also, And then we'll kick her back over and get back on our Stratos trip. But affiliations, bird people, bird men, avionians, special abilities flight, a brave and noble member of the bird people of Avion. Delora was Stratos' sister. She loved her brother so much that she once broke a spell Skeletor had cast over her. Now, that list in the 1983 animated MOTU series. We have in the 83 MOTU mini-comics, a stark contradiction to the Filmation series, Delora was Stratos' wife, not his sister. She was also human, living on Avion with her husband. She was depicted with black hair, red dress, and matching bandana. Skeletor once kidnapped her in order to distract Stratos, He-Man, and the Eternian heroes. And what I think is probably the most interesting look for Delora is the 83 Ladybird. So this is the one we were talking about where she was stolen, depicted her as a bird woman without the ability to fly. As in the mini comics, she was the wife of Stratos. So for you guys that have not ever seen that, there you go. There is the different depictions of Delora. There's Delora. And then also, of course, we have Delora there. I was interested to see if they threw Hawk in here, which is how she is presented. ABCDEFGH. Let's go over here. Had to go through my alphabet, guys. Y'all like that? Uh-huh. 38, still using that alphabet every day. Let's see. ABCDEFGH. Hawk, come on now. You just got to think nothing to it but to do it. Okay, Hawk. Hawk is interesting because her affiliation also bird people, avionians, special abilities flight, so it matches everything that Delora has. Hawk, a stern red-headed avionian bird woman, was blinded by greed when Skeletor promised her riches. She sabotaged Avion's defenses and framed Stratos for the crime, resulting in him being banished from Avion in disgrace. She later saw the error of her ways when Skeletor refused her the riches that he had promised, instead imprisoned her in the demon zone. Stratos' trust helped them. As a result, vindicated Stratos. He did not banish her from Avion. He stripped her of her rank. So she was ranked and one of his people, one of his defenders, stripped of her rank and placed her in captivity until she had redeemed herself in the eyes of their people. Like other Avionians, she can only fly within proximity of the egg of Avion. In the MYP series, Hawk was a more heroic character who served as Stratos' second in command. So what they're doing there is really interesting as far as tying it in with the classics version, because we have another little blurb over here. Here she's second in command. Okay, so first she's stripped of all her glory. She set Stratos up, done him wrong. That's the betrayal of Stratos. Then we have the Mike Young productions or the MYP productions where she is second in command for Stratos. And then we have the MV creations, which is a 2002 comic line. If you guys haven't seen that, it's definitely worth checking out. Hawk was Stratos' sister as well and second in command. One of the last survivors of a small tribe of birdmen. Both she and Stratos were very young when an unknown enemy attacked and killed their people. So, interestingly enough, they're listed as his sister. So then when we get the 2008 MOTU Classics, because we are getting a Hawk figure from Super 7. I know you guys know it and been waiting on it. And they're on a boat. Those are not on a boat. But so Hawk was Stratos' sister, second in command. So once again, they back that whole story up, second in command, host sister. Says, Hawk could fly and had wings, which grew from her forearms. So like other Avionians, Evil Lynn once hypnotized Hawk and ordered her to sabotage Avion's defenses. Hawk broke free from the spell, but many distrusted her. After Stratos' death, Avion refused to name Hawk as its leader and chose General Tufos instead. When Hawk exposed Tufos' allegiance to the Order of Daemon, the general was banished and Hawk was finally made Avion's leader. She led Avion until their reawakening returned Stratos to life. So, Stratos obviously dies. She would be the second in command. And so finally, her dream is realized in the 2008 MOTU Classics version. We will be getting Hawk. So for those of you guys who have seen her, it's very cool that Avion is in West Virginia or Kentucky. I agree, Rudd. That's definitely where it is. I've been to several places that look very Avionish. And so that's I would think actually where I live is pretty accurate. If you were going to Avion, you would think that maybe perhaps in the top. Come on up here, bud. So yeah, like I said, while we're doing the podcast, we do whatever we want to. Obviously, nobody else is around to fuss at us, so we'll introduce the dogs. This is Bentley. What's up, Bentley? This is Bentley Swervington Longbottom. He is a weenus, also from the tribe of Weenai. He is the leader of the Weiner people. And then Graylin is hanging out with Mom. Do you want to let Graylin say hi? Graylin's not saying hi. Graylin is strapped into a full vest situation, dangling from his mother's chest. So that is interesting. Okay, so back to Stratos, and we're going to kind of bring it around and wrap it up. We're going to get Stratos finished up and wrap up the podcast, because I said we weren't going to go for an hour with just me talking, and we have done so. So, of course, surprise, surprise, I could talk for an hour, guys. I know that really blows your all's mind, especially you, Rudd and Joe. You guys know you've dealt with me before when those kind of things happen. So let's kick it back over here to Stratos, and we'll finish it out, and then I'll make a suggestion for you guys of what you need to check out to be on top of your Stratos game. So, Stratos, my gosh, so many characters, guys. I'm telling you, if you've not got this book yet, you've got to pick it up. The wifey got it for me, really killer present. Still digging through it. I've not gotten, I mean, a character comes up and you go read about them. You're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And then that ties to somebody else and you end up go reading about that. And so you just spend days back and forth and back and forth in this book. But anyway, so we finished up 83 Lady Bird Motu books, 84 UK World Motu annuals, largely consistent with everything else we have on Stratos. German Motu audio plays. He served as a scout for the Masters of the Universe and maintained a friendly rivalry with his fellow scout Mechanek. Although the pair often bickered, they were good friends. Stratos was married to Delora in this canon, and the couple did have two little bird babies. So, you know, she set up in that bird nest and hatched them little bird baby eggs, and so they had two little bird people that followed them around. What else have we got on Stratos? Of course, we talked about a couple different iterations of it too. We've got our German Interpart Condor Motu comics. That was in 84, 86, the UK Motu comics, 2002 Mike Young production. We also have, and in the 2002 Mike Young production series, very interesting take on Stratos. It is as if perhaps he is Sean Connery. So he does fly around and say some very Sean Connery type things, and the accent really helps bring all that together. And you really just think that Connery's right there with you, just leading the charge against the bird people, or with the bird people. So, interesting thing, the Emerald Staff of Avion. If you look at it in the episode, very different look to it. Is rounded, has the staff center. I believe he came with Goatman, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was originally included with Goatman. We do have a staff of Avion, and I'm not quite sure who that actually comes with. I don't personally have a staff of Avion that came with my Stratos, but he typically has that, and then the Emerald Staff of Avion, I believe, came with Goatman. So if you're looking for that accessory to go with your Stratos, you can either get it with your Goatman, or you can get on your Super 7 stuff on the new stuff that you've ordered, and it will come in that 3-pack. So with that said, it was included with him. Thank you, Joe. So the original Staff of Avion was included with Stratos, so it is in there. It is not the Emerald Staff of Avion, which is this round deal, and you guys can check that out as well. So that was with the Goatman. So other than that, the things that I was going to suggest for you guys to check out, most definitely his portrayal in the DC comics, a little different in our later 2012 version. I like him there also. A little bit of a redesign. He looks a little bit different. We have a couple different scenes with him for the folks who are fans of that comic, or even for the folks who have not read that series of comics. It's definitely a different look on Stratos. Need to check that out because he's got a redesign. Very cool looking face. We've got him sort of with a mask that matches, or I guess you would say a helmet that matches a Stratos look. And then when he removes the helmet, we have the actual face of Stratos. And you get to see that's a little different. They do portray him larger lips, sort of got the beard, the chin beard kind of thing going on there. And he's been that way in most of the depictions of him. So I think that's kind of cool too, that they stick with that. So DC Comics version, check that out if you haven't checked that out. And again, it just shows the diversity and so many different things about Stratos that could go on and on and on for ages. But tonight was dedicated to Stratos. We're going to talk about the differences with him and the things that are cool about him, and maybe some things you didn't know, and maybe some things you did know, probably lots of things you did know. Oh, yes. Thank you, Joe. So the Emerald one actually came with Goatman. It was not the Staff of Avion did not come with Stratos. So, but that's cool that that did come with the Goatman. So thank you for clearing that up, my brother. So lots of interesting things about Stratos. Check out, if you want to check out a very cool, Filmation episode that you guys know how much I love the mini comics and you know how much the mini comics mean to me. So being a big fan of the mini comics, I always like it when there is some sort of tie-in between minis and Filmation apps. And so that's where you had my suggestion for tonight. So there is a Filmation episode, which is very cool. It is called, let's see, it has already jumped away from me. I had it pulled up here so I could tell you what it was. Reign of the Monster. This is the first time that we see Mulcrum. And it is also, we do see Delora. Delora's in the episode also. And, Stratos is taken and, Skeletor clones him. And we have multiple Stratoses going on. Now, the interesting thing and the reason that I wanted you guys to check that out, and I won't tell you the whole story because I don't want to ruin it for you, but you check that out and then come back and check out this mini, Siege of Avion. Obviously, look real close. You'll see the beautiful artwork, Alfredo Alcala. So, obviously, Alcala, one of my most favorite artists from MOTU. But Siege of Avion there, they are bringing up this terrible beast. You see him on the cover there, very menacing. He-Man has to take him on. And but there are some very interesting similarities there with those two episodes and the way those things work together. And we actually even see a scene where Skeletor has the Emerald Staff of Avion, and He-Man and Skeletor are trying to figure it out. So with that said, guys, we'll leave you guys with that. Brian on a boat, Ultimates on a boat, shipping July the 20th. We missed June, guys. We missed that June 31st shipping date. So kind of felt like we were going to miss that. But with that said, we're going to close the thing down. We're going to be done with it for tonight. Hopefully Brian will be back next week to hang out with us, and Andrew K also. It won't be just me, and you won't be stuck with me for a full hour. But we'll have some chat. I'm sure Brian will have some things to share. We've got some stuff coming up, obviously SDCC, some other stuff going on. So as the news rolls in, check Lucky Legends page for the things that are going on in the universe. Make sure you check out Masters of the Galaxy page. I like to support the other podcast, and I don't care to do that on air, and while nobody's around, I can do that. So, Joe and Tyler Baker, Fans of Power, you guys rock every week. So, appreciate you guys doing what you do. And, you know, it's about the love, baby. It's all about MOTU. So, anything that we can get, check out the pages, Master of the Galaxy page, Lucky Legends page. Come check out the Waffle Mafia. We're good people, guys. Come hang out. We'll have a pause for the calls, and then I'm out. So, pause for the calls. Y'all have a good evening. We'll talk to you later. Peace.